My name is Jeremy Pierre. I am Dean of the Graham School, one of the graduate schools at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. I also teach biblical counseling and practical theology. So that's only about 2 hours south of here. We do everything from master's degrees to different doctoral degrees. If you're interested in it, you can come talk to me. But you guys are doing a great training here, and it's always a privilege for me to come up every year. I'm thankful that they, for some reason, continue to invite me. We'll see how long that lasts, and I hope that I can edify you. So this talk is sort of a newly developed thing that I'm kind of like floating for you. I hope it's edifying. And it largely was birthed out of a lot of conversations that I've been having with not just people in counseling, but people in ministry in general, pastors knowing, hey, how do I talk to folks who come in for help? And it's all therapy speak, okay? And they're using words like, you can see this even in the description in your notes, they're using words like trauma and triggering and toxic relationships and emotional manipulation, emotional blackmail, gaslighting, narcissism, intrusive thoughts. You can read the rest yourself, okay? Because on the one hand, here's the dilemma, guys. On the one hand, we don't dismiss when people say words like that because they are trying to grab onto some language that describes something they find in their experience. Something it's at least capturing for them a kernel of truth as to, like, I don't know how to express this. This seems to be the word, okay? So on the one hand, what you're not going to get from me in this talk is like a, here's how you destroy people who use that language, okay? But on the other hand, we don't want to adopt the entire set of ideas that they're probably borrowing from and not even realizing it when they use those words. Because a lot of those words come from frameworks that are just entirely godless in that they don't recognize God as the center of human design. They don't recognize God's design of human relationships as orchestrated for certain purposes that then help us understand, okay, when I say something like triggering or when I say something like boundaries, I have to think about human relationships in light of God's design. I can't just jump out of that and think of it in terms of sort of just merely worldly structures, okay? So folks, you guys know this. You've lived enough life and you've done enough ministry. Welcome to a constant quandary, whether we're talking about therapy speak or any other kind of speak. It's what words best describe what's going on here? And how do we submit the words we use to what Scripture would direct us to do? Because guys, to be honest with you, the easy shortcut would simply to say to people, well, we are only going to use Bible words to describe everything in our experience. But the only problem with that is we don't even do that in Christian theology. Do you know the word Trinity isn't in the Bible? Some of you just got really scared for a second. Okay? And yet, wouldn't we all agree? I certainly would insist that if somebody doesn't believe in the Trinity, they don't believe in Christianity. It's an essential doctrine. So what do we do with that? Well, again, what I want to do in this session is walk you through the first part is the nerd part, and the second part is the practitioner part, okay? The first nerd part is where I want to talk about the nature of language and God's purpose for language. Because if we can get into the theology behind that, if we can get into sort of understanding his purpose for language overall, then we can start making good decisions about, okay, then what do we do with therapy talk, practically speaking? Does that make sense? So there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all. I don't want to, in this session, teach you, okay, here's a list of good words, here's a list of bad words. If somebody uses this word, kick them out. If somebody uses these words, they're good to go with counseling, okay? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to teach you what to think. I want to teach you how to think biblically. Does that make sense? All right, so look at the second half of that summary point. That's where we'll kind of launch from. This talk will consider the purpose God gave language to human beings, to attribute the right meaning to the world, including our experiences. So being grounded in God's purposes allows us to engage wisely with different words that people use to describe their experience, including therapy talk. Okay? So, guys, this is going to be our launch point, that key phrase. I'm going to hit it again. What words are meant to do is to attribute the right meaning to something, the right meaning to an experience, the right meaning to what we're describing. And so that's what we just have to keep as our sort of North Star to navigate this stuff. Okay? So let's go with some foundational thoughts on the purpose of language, okay? This is the nerd part. If you get bored, if I start seeing you glaze over, I'll just rush past it. Don't worry, okay? But I'll make it fun. First, God made human beings in his image as interpreters of the world, okay? Now, here's why that's actually amazing and thrilling and is going to open new things in your mind. You don't know anything apart from it of you interpreting something, okay? You have a certain understanding of what things are outside you, and the question is that understanding accurate or not, okay? Let me show you this from Scripture. Genesis chapter 1. If you look at the very first interaction that God has with Adam, there's an exchange of words, okay? So this is foundational to our language, okay? So Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28. It's like a lot happens in three verses. In the first verse, we get a glimpse into God talking among himself, I believe in terms of the Trinity, obviously. But the conversation is, what are we going to do now? What is man? What are we about to do in creating this thing we're going to call man? And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every livestock and over everything on earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay? So, words that describe the meaning of what he's about to create. So, if you want to know what the meaning of human existence is, you have it right there. God made you to image him as you have dominion over the world. Okay, now, here's what I want you to notice. So that was God's conversation with himself. Then the second verse is him doing it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So he took an action in verse 27 that we already know the meaning of because it was described in verse 26. Okay? But now I want you to notice something amazing. Look at this third verse, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, you're going to notice some similar language here. It almost repeats the verse, doesn't it? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. Did you get that? God determined the meaning of human existence, then he created human existence, and then he described that meaning to Adam with words. This is super important, and we skip over this. Adam didn't come pre-downloaded with an understanding of his experience. He had to be told with words from God. You see what we're learning already? We need God's words to rightly interpret our experience. But the point was, God was concerned that Adam have an accurate interpretation, an accurate understanding of who he was in this newly created world, and so he gave him language. He gave him words, okay? So, language is one of those capacities that God has given us to have dominion over the world. This was the first act that God did to bring order to the world. Have you ever thought about this? Language is one of the means that you bring order to the world. When you say what's true, when you say what's clear, when you say what properly shows the meaning behind something, okay? So Christians can talk about the meaning of the beauty we get caught up with when we're at the Grand Canyon better than someone who is not a believer. Why? They might know more about the geology of it, but they don't know more about the ultimate purpose that geology has and the effect that it has on you of creating awe. That's telling you something about the unseen God who made that. You are seeing the meaning, the ultimate meaning behind that in a better way. And when we use language, it says, wow, isn't God